Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
Hello and welcome. It is the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. I'm John Stillman alongside David Lee from Mach 1 Financial Group, serving folks throughout Northwest Arkansas. David, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, John. How are you?
Doing great. Good to talk with you.
And you too, man.
We're going to talk today about 401ks.
Okay.
Now, in a lot of cases, a 401k, for many people, can be their best investment vehicle. I'm sure for many folks that you work with, the overwhelming majority of their wealth is in their 401k. Would that be true?
For sure. For sure. Absolutely.
In other cases, though, it may not be the best place for you to be putting your money or keeping your money.
Yep.
And we'll explain what we mean by that. So let's talk about a couple of scenarios where maybe the 401k should not be your focus.
Okay.
Starting with this, you don't have an emergency fund. Maybe we need to be putting some money somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of you out there, you probably have heard the rule of thumb before. I know if you've ever heard me talk, you've heard me talk about this. You need to have 6 months of living expenses in an emergency account for general life emergencies that will inevitably happen. And, you know, to make sure you know what we're talking about, Christmas coming up is not an emergency, right? That's, we know that happens once a year, every year.
Pretty predictable date.
Pretty predictable. Yeah. So we know Valentine's, we know our wife's birthdays and anniversaries and things like that happen every year. So those obviously are not emergencies.
It can be an emergency if it's the night before and you forgot to get anything.
That's right. If it's February 13th and you have forgotten that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, that could be an emergency. That is true, John. In all seriousness, you know, a true emergency would be, for example, the hot water tank blows, which will happen, or the refrigerator goes, the freezer goes out, whatever it may be, a medical emergency, right? So there's various things that can and will happen throughout life, and you need to have cash available on hand to pay for emergencies. Or another example, what if you lose your job and suddenly your income dries up in a short period of time? You need to have several months of living expenses put back in the bank to live off of, and so that you're not having to go in and liquidate a stock account, for example, when the market is down. Because sure enough, when you lose your, if you were to lose your job and you needed some source of money to live off of, that sure enough will be the time when the market is down and you'll be forced to liquidate and sell stock in a down market, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. So there's good reason why that rule of thumb exists to keep 6 months of living expenses in an emergency account. Sometimes I'll modify that to say 3 to 6 months if you have a pension, if you're one of those lucky few that still have a pension and you have a relatively stable and predictable income source every month. Maybe you could fudge that a little bit and bring it back down to 3 months of living expenses. But as a rule of thumb, for most of us out there, 6 months of living expenses is what we want to keep on hand for an emergency fund. And your 401k makes for a terrible emergency fund because you can't take money out of that without a tax penalty unless you're 59 and a half. And even if you are over 59 and a half and you can withdraw from it penalty free, you may get stuck in that situation that I just described where you're having to take money out. The emergency will inevitably happen when the market is down and you're having to take money out in a down market. So that's why you don't want to use your 401k for your emergency account.
I was talking to a guy recently who makes about $300,000 a year. He's an attorney and he has like $3 million in his 401k, but he feels poor because he has nothing in the bank. And so every time something comes up, every time his wife wants to do something in the yard, they feel like they don't have the money for it because he doesn't have a stash of cash anywhere. It's all invested in the market in a tax-deferred account. And so in his 50s, making a great income, he can't live life because he's invested everything. He doesn't have anything in the bank. So,
yeah, and, you know, that's kind of dovetails with what we talked about in our last podcast about husbands and wives and compromising. And, you know, investing is an act of compromising too. And so to your point, John, it's a great one that you shouldn't just invest all of your eggs in that one basket being the 401k. You really ought to have the emergency fund that's just basically in cash, even though, yes, I realize you're probably earning virtually 0% interest on a savings account at the bank. But there's a reason why that is recommended. And then once you've got that emergency account built up, you can start to put money in other non-IRA or non-qualified investment accounts, individually owned or jointly owned or trust owned, as a way to build up other liquid available cash that is earning something other than 0%. So that's something that we, you know, that we talk to a lot of our clients about as well.
We're talking about reasons you may want to not be investing in the 401k. We just talked about not having an emergency fund. If your employer doesn't match contributions, that doesn't automatically mean that you shouldn't contribute to your 401k, but it might mean that you can invest better elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we always advise people, if your employer matches you, let's say your employer matches 6%, we would advise you max the match. In other words, if they're matching you 6, put in 6, because that's a guaranteed 100% rate of return on your money. And there is nowhere else that I'm aware of that guarantees a 100% rate of return. So definitely max out that match. But if your employer offers no match, my advice there is I would advise you to max out your traditional IRA or Roth IRA if you're eligible for a Roth before you contribute anything to your unmatched employer sponsored plan. And the reason for that is because you'll have a lot more options outside your 401k as far as investment vehicles that are available to you. You have a lot more options outside your 401k than you will inside your 401k. So if you have a non-matching employer, put your $5,500 or $6,500 max that you can each year in your traditional IRA or Roth IRA. And then once you've maxed that out, then and you still want to contribute tax-deferred funds, that's when you go back to your non-matched 401k.
What about if you're worried about future tax increases, David? If you're worried that taxes are going to go up in the future, it might make sense to not be piling money into, essentially, a tax time bomb.
Yes, great. That's a great way of putting it, a tax time bomb. And this requires a kind of an in-depth answer, which is beyond the scope of the length of this podcast. So suffice to say that, just as you put it, John, a 401k or a traditional IRA or an SEP plan or a 403b, all the various tax-deferred investment vehicles that are available to you out there, they all have the potential to be tax time bombs. And here's what I mean by that. An IRA or 401k, 403b, all those vehicles I mentioned, are not truly individually owned by you. They are jointly owned by you and
your favorite uncle.
There you go, John. Uncle Sam, right? So Uncle Sam, the government, is a partial owner of your IRA or 401k or 403b, because down the road, when you start to take a withdrawal out of that account, the government's going to require their taxes out of it. And the amount of tax that they're going to pull out of that is dependent upon your total income when you pull it out and what the current tax bracket structures are that are in place at the time when you pull it out, i.e. when you're retired. There's no way for us to accurately know what the tax brackets are going to look like in the future when you retire. Therefore, there's no way for you to actually know what percentage of your IRA or 401k you own. So, counterintuitively, if you accumulate too much of your wealth in tax-deferred investments such as 401ks and 403bs, you could be exposing yourself unnecessarily to rising tax rates in the future. So there is a magic formula for what's the maximum amount that you should have in an IRA or 401k. And I would love to share that with you. If you come into my office, I'll even give you a free book called The Power of Zero that will show you the formula for what's the optimal amount that you should have in your IRA and 401k so that you can potentially achieve a 0% tax bracket when you're retired.
One last thing we should mention, Dave, and this is not so much about putting money in your 401k, but it's leaving money in a 401k account when you're no longer at the company. Why might that be a bad idea?
Yeah, and I kind of alluded to this earlier. I said that, you know, usually outside your 401k, you have more investment options available to you than you have inside your 401k. So if you're no longer working for your employer, you are eligible to roll your money over to a traditional IRA. And so you can take the money out without tax and roll it over to an IRA in your name. And then you have basically the universe of investment vehicles that are available to you rather than just the 10 or 15 things that your employer allows you to invest in within the 401k. So that's why you may not want to leave your money in your old 401k when you leave the company.
So just because the 401k is there doesn't mean it's your best option. I'm not saying don't put money in it. I mean, it's, yeah, like we said, it's probably the greatest way to build wealth for a lot of people. It's absolutely just that as you're fine-tuning your portfolio, there might be better options.
Absolutely. For some of your money. Like the things we talked about, max the match, don't go any further than that. Talk to us about what's the optimal amount that you should have in there, and don't go above that optimal amount so that you don't expose yourself to higher tax rates in the future.
David, you mentioned the book, The Power of Zero. I have read that book, and it is pretty educational about just the power of creating tax-free retirement income streams and why that would be so beneficial to folks. How many copies you have laying around the office? Can we give away a few?
Yeah, we probably have 10 or 20 copies laying around here. So, yeah.
All right. So we're going to call it 12 is the number I just made up. If you don't have 12, you can go out and buy a couple more. So we have 12 copies available. If you'd like to get your hands on that book, David didn't write it, but it's a really terrific explanation of the things you need to be thinking about from a tax planning perspective in retirement. The number to call if you'd like to get your hands on that book is 479-876-2100, 479-876-2100. Just call, say you heard about the book giveaway on the podcast, and you'd like to get your hands on The Power of Zero is what it's called. The Power of Zero, 479-876-2100. This is the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. We'll talk with you next time. Have a great week.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.